A reading from the Gospel according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said and that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So this is quite a story, John tells. Quite a story. It's the story of the first morning. It is a story that has everything. It has suspense. It has all these vivid details. It even has a competition of two people racing for the tomb. Powerful human emotions. It is one of the most beautiful of the resurrection stories in the Bible. Mary, the Magdalene, is at the empty tomb. She runs and tells them. They run back. They see it is empty. And they return home. She looks in and she is spoken to by two angels who say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And a few moments later, someone she does not recognize says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" All of this and the fact that she is standing in the presence of someone who just was recently dead makes this story a recipe for fantasy. It is quite a story. And yet Christians struggle with what it means to claim a real relationship with Jesus, to claim Jesus in the risen form on this day of all days. It is this event that defines us as Christians. It is this moment that we come together as Easter people. But since most of us have not seen angels, and I'm pretty sure most of us have not been in the presence of someone who just recently died who speaks to us, this recipe for fantasy becomes a question of, what does it mean for my life when the story isn't like my life? Some will deal with it in one way. We have created doctrines over thousands of years that we say, here's how you deal with the story. Here's what you need to believe. And if you believe these things, then you are a Christian. Some of us stop and say, well, what about rational thought? Well, you're supposed to suspend rational thought. I don't know. I've never liked that idea. But then what is the alternative? I stay in rational thought. If I can't prove it, it isn't true. If I can't see it, if I can't embrace it, I'll call it metaphor. But I don't know about you, but neither of these approaches are very satisfying. To simply say, I don't understand it, therefore it didn't happen. Or, I don't understand it, but I've been told it is all true, therefore I must just accept it. Isn't this the tension that this beautiful story offers us in our Christian lives? We don't want to come out of our comfort zone, but we need to grapple with the story of Easter, because we want meaning for our lives. And we want to know the risen Christ. But it's a tall order, and some days it feels like an impossible order. The thing is then we read the story, and the story won't let us off the hook. The story presses us. We have to consider what it means to have faith in an Easter Jesus, even if we never actually observe a person who has died rising. We are called to have a faith that is as grounded as the experience that Mary had in the garden. Mary, who is distraught and confused and sad, she has lost her friend, her teacher, her Savior. But in that moment of grief, she has something to teach us. She is turning to leave, and as she turns her back, she hears the gardener say one word, Mary. And she stops. She hears her name being said. See, John's image is not abstract, it's not intellectual. No, on the contrary, it's visceral and emotional and very deeply personal. Because Jesus captures the particularity of her and her life in one moment by just uttering her name. And I think in this story that this moment tells us a lot about how we long to be with God, to be held in God's gaze, to be cared and nurtured for by God, to have God call our name. But then we have this dilemma, don't we? Even as we embrace science, even as we look around and say, this is what the world tells me, here's what I know about the world and what I have learned, even as we say, well, let's not make God small. Let's make God greater than anything we can understand. Even as we long for knowledge in this world that is so different than the world that Jesus lived in, we still long for a personal God, a God who sees us complete. For God to know us by name in the most intimate, far-reaching places of our lives, our histories, our dreams, our griefs, our losses. When Jesus speaks that one word, Mary, he travels to all those private places in her life that we too hope for. When God comes to us in deeply personal ways, speaking our name, the experience can be embodied in physical as well as spiritual. Because Jesus in this story did not come to Mary as a general idea or a ghostly figure, but as a presence for her. God comes to all of us in ways that reach beyond our ways of knowing. We have so many ways of knowing, and yet God comes to us and transcends all of those things, and God comes to us through all of those things, calling our name. God does come to us through rational thought. God does come to us in the ability to analyze. We absolutely must remember that God wants us to use our brains. God comes to us through sight and sound and touch and feel and smell. God comes through us through muscle memory, our very tissue. When you shake the hand of the person next to you, God speaks. The sounds of children singing and lighting candles, the words of a prayer, there may be a certain hymn. The smell of the lilies, the communion cup and the bread, God comes through every way we know. God comes to us through our intuition. And God's coming unfolds in the everyday, in every emotion that we experience, in the deepest parts of our private lives. Now, God comes to us through our experience, and that is when we are open to the mystery of the risen Christ. If we are listening, if we are open, it can shift our entire world. I don't know if it has happened to you, but it has happened to me, where there is a moment of clarity. I may not be able to hold on to it every moment of my life, but there is a moment of clarity, and what felt like fantasy now is called mystery. The story tells us something else about our lives and about how we live within the world. Mary did not recognize Jesus. It was not until he spoke her name that she knew who he was. Has Christ come to you and you did not recognize him? You did not know he was speaking your name. It is the personal that we seek. It is the corporate we are called to. We are called to be community. We are called to serve in community. But it begins here. It begins in this private place where we hear our name being called. But too often we do not hear it because we have not learned to listen. Listening for God takes practice, it takes intentionality, and it takes faith. It doesn't mean that your life of faith should be disconnected from the physical world or to deny what is going on around you. That is a different recipe. That can be a recipe for incongruence, where you can't make sense of your faith because it does not match with your life, and so therefore it gets ignored or set aside. But faith does require something. It requires a willingness to open ourselves to that mystery of faith. Not the magic, but the mystery. And as people of faith, we are called to pay attention. We are called to give attention. to our material world, to our bodies, to ourselves, to our spirit, to our intellect, where through Christ, God's grace can be revealed to us in every possible way. And that can be very, very personal. We do not always just come to church so that we know that God lives and we're called to follow Christ, though that is one of the messages that we hear and that we learn. We attend to faith so that our souls and bodies can be reminded of Christ, rejuvenated by Him, having our anxieties quelled, having our lives of despair feel hope, a place to share our joys, a place to share our sorrows, and to be reminded that Easter can come again and again and again. It may seem like a recipe for fantasy, maybe. But maybe it is a shared story where Jesus meets us, calling each of us by name, receiving our touch, calming our anxious worries, and reminding us again and again that grace is not an object to grab, but it is a gift that we receive, and it is a gift that we are to live. We must learn to listen so that when our name is spoken, we will know. So may the joy that the Magdalene found in the garden on that morning when she heard her name called be yours also. Amen.